My friend David Hawkins from Roll Call is here, and as senior editor, he gets the stuff before before anybody else knows the stuff, and you've got some new stuff from Capitol Hill this afternoon at this late hour, David.
I do. Just within the last few minutes, Dave Camp of Michigan, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, announced that he would not be running for re-election this fall. This is somewhat of a bombshell because he had been indicating that even though he knew that his time was up as chairman of that committee because the House Republicans set term limits on these chairmen, he had been sending signals that he wanted to stick around and have a new chapter in his congressional career, but apparently changed his mind, and this adds to a significant brain drain for the Michigan delegation on top of Mike Rogers, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, announcing on Friday in just as much of a surprise that he wasn't going to run for re-election. Of course, John Dingell retiring, the longest-serving member ever. Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee for the past 6 years. So Michigan is going through a big-time change all of a sudden, and obviously the federal agencies that get regulated by Ways and Means won't have Dave Camp to worry about anymore.
I thought about it, with all due respect to my friends from Michigan, I thought about it before we got on the air, that more from the perspective of, why at this late hour are Republicans in safe seats? You told me Mitt Romney won Camp's district by, what, 50?
Eight points.
Eight points last time. So why now? I mean, this sounds like kind of a late date for these folks to be deciding they don't want to run when it appears they're going to keep the House. And he's, as I said, running from a safe district. I would have thought he would have gotten to this by now.
You could argue that round, or you could argue it flat. There would be some who'd say that if this election cycle were more, if the trends were more ambiguous, that the pressure would be on a veteran member like Dave Camp to stick around and hold the seat for the Republicans. 8 points is not, is not considered a safe seat under some circumstances. You know, that's a gettable thing for Democrats in a big year. So you could say that now that the trend is pretty well locked in, that this is going to be a solid Republican year, the president isn't popular, Republicans should be able to hold virtually any seat that they currently hold, that it's comfortable for him, even at this late date, with the filing deadline in Michigan is not until the end of April, that he can get out in such a way that the Michiganders can figure out who's going to replace him on the Republican side and probably do pretty well.
There's more about that story at rollcall.com, and we'll link to that, as we always do, David, at federalnewsradio.com, and I thank you for flagging that for us. I wanted to talk to you, though, about a piece that you wrote that I saw over the weekend on your Hawkins Here blog that really strikes at the heart of something that affects every single federal employee. Let's go back first to last Sunday. The Washington Post runs a front-page story about the cave in Boyers, Pennsylvania, where all the federal retirement records are stored. And folks like me and others in this space that cover this have known about Boyers for a long time. There wasn't a whole lot uncovered about the operations of Boyers that was really new. We learned, I didn't know a lot about the community itself and some of the folks that worked there that the Post reporters talked to. But the operations therein I knew about, and the issues with the IT transformations and updates I knew about. You get, though, in this column, at the core of a couple of issues that, as the headline to your piece says, this isn't going to change anytime soon. The headline of your piece is, Congress will allow government retirement system to stay in the cave age. Why is this a benefit for Congress when this is such a detriment to the retirement of every federal employee, David?
Well, I think with all due respect to all the federal retirees, I know and have his neighbors and in some cases have his family members. They are not all that powerful a political constituency in the United States. And so the fact that this relatively antiquated system of processing the annuitants paperwork by hand down in the limestone mine delays the full benefit checks from starting to kick in for an average of 61 days, that's just not, doesn't rise to the level of a political problem for very many members of Congress. You know, unless you represent the Washington D.C. suburbs, or you know, maybe a couple of other congressional districts around the country, there's not going to be a lot of hue and cry about that. And in a tight budget year, at a time when OPM's discretionary spending budget has been flatlined for the last several years. The government, you know, the Congress is just not in a position to invest a large amount of money trying to modernize it, especially because, as you just noted, they've tried it three times in the last three decades, and they've come up with a bust all three times.
You write, the government jobs are coveted in the 1,200 population hamlet of Boyers and have helped give surrounding Butler County one of the lowest unemployment levels in the state of Pennsylvania, which is why the area's congressman, second-term GOP Representative Mike Kelly, tells me, you, David Hawkins, he and local officials remain thrilled with the arrangement. So is Iron Mountain, the records management behemoth that owns the complex dubbed the Underground. And this sounds like if you went outside the Beltway, David, and you said, name the two things that would make something in government stay the way that it is forever, I think most average citizens would say a happy member of Congress and a happy contractor would keep that stuck in the ember forever.
Yeah, that, you know, that's right. Now, I suppose there's nothing to prevent OPM from coming up with a bunch of whiz-bang software that would get this done, and they could put that down in the Boyers cave as well, but probably wouldn't need 600 people to operate it, and you probably wouldn't need to have all those paper records stored in a cool, dry place. So yeah, it would probably come to an end.
Now, the House Appropriations Subcommittee with jurisdiction over the agency is chaired by Ander Crenshaw, Republican from Florida. You've got a statement from him that you quote in the piece that he doesn't like this. He wants to make improvements, but you point out one very important issue that you've touched on already in our conversation, David.
Right, which is, you know, he says I will work with them to make some changes, but he never uses the money word, which is to say money. You know, he never talks about we will try and give OPM what they need to get this done. And so sort of by omission, the inference is not going to happen. I mean, it's going to be a tight budget year. As I say, OPM, I think I mentioned in the piece, which I don't have in front of me, that, you know, even in that bill, so OPM is funded under the bill called Financial Services and General Government. And even with respect to the other programs under that bill, it's sort of in the mid-range, you know, less than the National Archives, but a little more than the drug czar's office. And it doesn't look like in the battle for small amounts of money, it would take a big amount of money to change this, and that's not in the offing.
And so the prospect then is that the process as it was laid out in the piece in the Washington Post, which my understanding was from what I have heard from former OPM officials and so on, was pretty accurate, is the way it's going to be for a while, is what it appears.
That's what it appears. The OPM said in its budget justifications that it sent to Congress that they thought that they could within 2 years they could get up to 25% computer online record keeping for people who've already had their retirement paperwork processed. In other words, somebody who's already an annuitant but needs to change his or her address or make, you know, or some death in the family or whatever things that could change benefits, they might be able to use their existing money to raise online use for them to about 25%, but that's the only thing they're promising.
The full piece is at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We have a link there to your blog, David, as we always do. This piece is right at the top. Are you going to be writing about Dave Camp for tomorrow?
I am writing about the declining clout in the Michigan delegation, which I guess with Dave Camp's announcement just a few minutes ago, that was a good topic for me to pick today, I guess.
And you make it sound like it was luck. I think you, because you do this, you see this stuff coming.
Well, thank you for giving me that credit. Maybe it's deserved, maybe it's not. That's the mysteries of journalism, I guess.
It's always great to have you on the program, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call, and that link and all the other resources we talked about are at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, along with my conversation with David.